And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron. Hold on. Wait for the fucking fire engine to go by.
Complaining already?
Not only that, I'm...
Oh, man. That is loud. It was like five vehicles.
Not only am I going to complain, I'm sick. As you can hear, probably.
You're not feeling so hot,
I'm very nasally. You know, I took like 28 pills, so I'm feeling a little better, but okay. www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook and do me a favor. Go to iTunes, go to The Matthew Aaron Show, and comment on our podcast, depending how you feel. I don't care. You can give it one star. You can say that Jagoff was sick and making fire engine noises. That's fine by me.
You could say, I don't think that guy was funny at all.
Yes.
I don't think he was very good. But I like Lee, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Lee Capreas, hello.
Yeah, Lee Capreas, my co-host. Okay, we have a couple things to talk to before we get to our guest, Devin Sawa, who, by the way, I grew up watching all his movies.
Mm-hmm.
Little Giants, of course, being my favorite of all time. Ed O'Neill, Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis,
I believe we've brought this up on the show before. I love Little Giants.
Yeah.
Casper, of course. Now and then.
Well,
Bill Pullman action.
Yeah.
With Casper.
Well, we thought Christina Ricci was cute.
Yeah, well, I remember all the girls thought he was cute. They all wanted to see. They like
Bill Pullman?
Yes. They thought. They thought Bill Pullman was hot.
They loved him in Lost Highway.
Yes. Little girls loved him in Lost Highway. What's the first thing we should talk about today? I guess we should talk about what's going on in town real quick. Here in Los Angeles. And I just cut myself. So, 3 for 3 today.
What happened?
Luckily, I'm...
I can't take you anywhere.
I'm not going to say it was a table here at this fine establishment. 8873 West Sunset Boulevard. We're here at Coney Dog, owned by Mike Binder, cutter of hands.
And owner of bandages.
But best Coney Dog in the state by far. Best Coney Dog probably outside of Michigan.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. Is that all? Yeah.
No,
good.
I...
What a rave review from Lee.
Well, all right.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. He's got a good beer list.
I do love a hamburger. Yeah, the hamburger here is
good.
The best in town.
Tasty.
Ken Hommel's father-in-law was in town, and he says they melt in your mouth. They melt in your mouth.
They do.
Burgers.
They're good burgers.
Mike calls them pre-corporate White Castles. And that's how he sells it all the
because
time.
Because Mike was around when White Castle opened in 1920.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so going on in town right now, for those who don't know, is... Mr. George Clooney is having a little get-together for President Obama. Mr. George Clooney lives about a half a mile from me, and he's making traffic very difficult, and I wasn't invited.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I had Pat call Mr. Clooney's people, and Pat Tobias, of course, who everyone knows and loves, my producer. So I go, call Clooney's people. And
call Georgie Clooney's.
Yeah. Get me in that party. Shockingly, Pat called, and Clooney's people acted like, I don't know, I don't think it was April Fool's. It was like May 9th, but they acted like they didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Aaron with a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Pat told them to look up the show, www.thematthewaronshow.com, and I was willing to donate $40. To this party tonight. $40.
To the president's reelection campaign.
Yes.
Okay.
And they told me that everyone going to the party has already been vetted. They had a big vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
They took people to the vet. And then...
Well, they care about vets.
Yes. Yes. And then I was told that I would have been a security risk, and they were also not having press.
How are you a security risk?
I don't know. 3 for 3, though.
I don't know.
I completely struck out. I will be going to Mr. Clooney's office this week.
Did you mention that you were going to hand over $40?
Yes, I'm going to write Mr. Clooney a handwritten letter. I'm taking it over to his office on Radford.
If the incumbent sitting president is unseated by Mitt Romney, you know what? They'll say, you know, we should have taken that
if it was a $40 swing.
We should have vetted that dangerous-looking young donator of $40.
I don't know about dangerous either. Well, then I found out everyone's donating $40,000.
Okay.
It's a $40,000 a plate dinner, and they've already raised like $800,000 on the silent auction.
Mm-hmm.
So Clooney's hard at work. And then I read Ryan Murphy, the creator of Glee, having his own little Obama shindig.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, man. These guys are all going to be competing over who's besties with Obama. It's going to get really, really, really pathetic.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to take it. I'm glad I'm going to Chicago for a month, 2 months, starting next month. Because if this is how it's going to be around here, everyone's judging. Everyone's trying to get Obama to, you know, be their bedmate. I can't be around for it.
Well, I was invited to this, actually.
The Ryan Murphy one you were.
The George Clooney one.
Oh.
Because
what were you invited
to? Well, somebody put me on the White House email list. I think it was my mom. And now I get emails that are supposedly from Barack and Michelle. And there was an invite to this thing. And I'm like, well, that's right up the street. Which I can clearly be able to afford to go to.
Yes.
You know, but
because you have $40,000.
I'll make a donation. I got a tap card with $6 on it. The president could ride the red line like 3 times.
Yeah,
four,
I don't
four
think
times.
He's riding the red line.
He needs to go to Griffith Park or something.
I don't think he's riding the red line.
Okay.
So I wanted to bring up that Ryan Murphy. What else is going on? By the way, yeah, speaking of Obama, yesterday. You know, I can't even support the guy and criticize him 5%. Like, when I support him 95% and criticize him 5%, people think I hate him.
Right.
You've seen this.
Right.
I'll go on Facebook.
You got called out.
And I'll just say something unbiased about Obama. I go, all right, it's nice that he came out and supports gay marriage, but what's he going to do about it? Why didn't he support it years ago? Obviously, it's politically motivated.
Right.
By the way, I think I have good arguments for all of them.
Yeah, I do too.
And a bunch of people started bashing me like I'm a Mitt Romney fan.
Matthew.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm not. But I'm just saying, like,
soldier in the war on women sitting right over here.
I think a lot of my friends watch Ed Schultz.
Yeah.
I think they're Ed Schultzers.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence O'Donnell types.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. The Schultz and the O'Donnell type.
Yeah, well, the Ed
oh,
Schultz.
Tell our listeners about that commercial we saw yesterday with Ed Schultz.
So Ted.
So good. My jaw hit Ted. The ground.
So Ed is photographed at all of these like blue collar spots. He's doing a tour, a speaking tour, and they show him at a plant.
Hard hat.
He's got a hard hat on, but he's still rather like nicely dressed. You know,
for the
but,
people.
And Ed is very, you know what, I do believe when they say, like, he cares and all that, but he's definitely a pundit. You know,
yeah.
He goes there and he's like, but there's, like, showing him, like, talking to surveyors and in a
they
coal
had him,
mine.
Like, pointing. They had him, like, pointing, yeah. Like, he's like, all right, we're going to move
all right,
the coal from here to there.
I see some structural damage
yeah.
here. I think we're going to have to, if you can divide up labor.
It was the most ridiculous commercial, and they have a lot of them.
No, he was in Wisconsin for the labor strike.
The Walker
thing. The Walker
yeah.
recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have these commercials on MSNBC.
You'd think he was running against Scott Walker.
I got to tell you, MSNBC, their commercials are ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
The Lean Left, you know, they do the Lean Left commercials.
Uh-huh.
My favorite is Chris Matthews is talking in front of in one of the commercials, and I love Chris,
uh-huh.
but he's like, only in this country can a man like Barack Obama
only
be
in
elected
this country
president.
Can yeah. a man like Barack Obama get elected?
So,
huh?
But that's just not true.
No.
Putin was poor. The president of Germany was poor.
Right.
Like, no, there's a lot of.
Where do you think Benazir Bhutto came from?
Yeah, wasn't Putin making belts when he was a child?
That's right.
Yeah.
Leaders in Africa, they come up from tiny villages. I mean, and these guys, those guys are fucking bad.
I kind of feel like MSNBC went, if we can't beat Fox News, let's join them.
Yeah, let's join them.
Let's go over the top. I don't know. But that's pretty funny. I thought, you guys see the Ted Schultz commercial. If you're listening to the show, turn on MSNBC tonight. I can promise you, during Ed Schultz's show, they'll show the commercial.
But he's like a beefy, meaty roast of a man.
Yeah.
But he's like Tom Joad. Like, wherever there's trouble and there's suffering, that's where I'll be.
Yeah, it's the Ed Schultz Superman commercial.
I'll help them as long as it takes to get a corn dog.
On to something Ed Schultz would be really familiar with. We wanted to find out what that spray is they put on Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah.
Now,
if you don't know this, if you get a Pizza Hut pizza, before they box it, they spray it from this aerosol can, and I don't know anybody that could defend that. Like, don't do that. It should be able to make it 10 minutes. You know what I mean? What is in there? Even if it's like oil, what do you need to do that for?
Well, some lady asked them. Some lady goes, are you spraying on my pizza?
Pizza Hut is not oily enough.
Well, the person that worked at Pizza Hut said before they sprayed it with an aerosol can, they put it in the box, then they sprayed it with something called cold and sweet. Cold and sweet. Now, the answer seems to be it's a vegetable oil spray and serves no other purpose than to make the pizza look a little glossier. I ask for them to hold the spray when I go in there now.
Yeah. Well,
I'd like a pepperoni pizza. Hold the spray.
Hold the spray, please.
Yeah.
Spray free.
Yeah, spray free. Why? That's disgusting.
Yeah.
No wonder I get sick after every pizza meal.
Yeah, no
I'm
wonder
just
I'm
eating vegetable
No wonder
oil.
I'm up half the night shitting my guts out.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just a layer of grease they put on.
I know.
Now I get
it. And Pizza Hut's just like, well, okay, but you're going to be stuck with dull-looking, shineless pizza.
Why is Pizza Hut
you can't see your reflection
like,
in it.
We're going to put a layer of grease on the pizza because our pizza needs to be shinier than yours.
Right.
What's the point of that?
Right.
Why do you need shiny pizza?
It's already greasy pizza.
I don't know what's worse, hearing that or knowing how Jimmy John's,
the
like,
crust
the
underneath
preservatives,
oh.
How they pack their meat and all that pink goo.
Yeah, right.
And then, of course, the pink slime we know about with McDonald's now, which we've known for years, by the way, and the mass media decided to pick up on it a week ago.
Right.
Yeah, what is with that, by the way, that the pink slime story just got picked up? Vegans were playing those videos 5 years ago.
Right.
5 years ago.
Right.
If you go to YouTube and look up Pink Slime Machine,
it's
McDonald's.
Dated like 2005 or something.
Yeah, it's dated years ago. Why is it the media just decided, were they like short on stories? And they're like, well, we can go the Pink Slime thing finally.
We got enough water skiing squirrels. So
and then my
that.
Favorite was the Republicans who were like out. You know, they were outraged that we were against the pink slime. Remember, they had all those, I believe Rick Perry was one of the guys, and they had two other congressmen or senators, and they're eating like McDonald's burgers made of pink slime
right.
in like a factory.
Right.
And they're like, except their faces don't look very
No.
No. Yeah. That was a great picture. I love that picture.
My opponent is anti-pink slime. I'm for it. America.
I just know at Jimmy John's, if you get the turkey or you get the meat, any kind of meat, I think, and I could be wrong, but I'm definitely sure about the turkey. There is a pink gelatin that surrounds the turkey. And you know, most people go Jimmy John's because they're like, it's healthier, it's better for you, blah, blah, blah.
That's the food companies, man. They don't want you to know. So they cut out our internet.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. It is the big Jimmy John's brother.
It was Monsanto. So I thought you didn't take pills. You're sick. I thought you didn't take. Why
when
did you
I
take them today?
When I get sick, I'll take like 500 of them because I want to get over it so quick. I hate being sick because I just love working and like moving forward. And I feel like sickness slows me down.
It slows me down, but I'm someone that can function sick.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. I can function, but I feel like I'm functioning at half mass, and I don't like it. So I'll take like 80 kinds of one pill, which, by the way, when I die of a drug overdose at 43 from prescription pain pills or whatever, you can look back on this and go,
I'm going to give you Vioxx.
He wanted 80 different pills to make him feel better.
Right.
So I have a little bit of the Michael Jackson thing where I need like 80 pills to feel good about myself.
I thought that you had this attitude like, I don't put those things in my body. You know, I just get, I let nature, some people are like, I let nature do its
job.
But
I'm 40 pounds overweight.
Good luck being sick for 2 weeks, dummy.
I love that though. Yes, I will not put certain things in my body, but I'm 40 pounds overweight.
Right, and you smoke.
And I smoke like a chimney.
Right.
Yes. And I used to drink like a fish. Once again, I want to remind our listeners, in a couple minutes, we're having on Devin Sawa and Wes Chatham. You are going to see them in The Philly Kid, which is an After Dark Action production. It's going to be in 10 select cities, May 11th to May 17th. It is a film
about... an MMA thriller.
MMA. It's an MMA thriller. I never thought I'd say that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like one of those old school... We were talking about this earlier today. I like this topic. They don't make $10 million movies anymore.
No.
They don't make those cheaper Steven Seagal-like action movies and put them in theaters.
Right.
They make them. They put them straight to DVD or Blu-ray or straight to Netflix or what have you. But they don't do it in the theaters.
Right.
This looks like one of those films. They spend $5-10 million on. Fun. You know, a fun use of 2 hours.
Yeah.
And they don't put these in the movie theaters anymore. Of course, part of the problem also is how do you put them in the movie theaters now? I mean, it's so mass-produced, all these movies. They're $100 million movies, like every single one.
Well, they make too many things. They make way too... That's why I
think... Way too many things.
There should be certain theaters designated for certain types of things. But
I agree.
But
like, this would be a great movie at the Music Box.
Right. Well, people, here's the thing.
Sorry to speak Chicago there for a
minute. No.
So we're at the Arrow.
Right. People go to see these things, though. I mean, people do watch them. MMA fans will eat this up. They'll find it.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's going to be on video on demand as well. You go to After Dark Action, they're going to have this film along with El Gringo and a few others, and Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme and...
The Dolph and the Jean-Claude in one film.
And the production quality on these films are great. I mean, here's the thing. Remember 10 years ago when there would be all these straight-to-DVD movies?
Yeah.
And they looked terrible?
Yeah, they usually...
Now you can't make those
they
anymore.
They usually had the term American Pie in front of them.
Right, but now you can't make those anymore.
I know.
Because the quality of the actual stuff that's going to video on demand or straight-to-DVD is so much better than the Steven Seagal movie that went straight-to-DVD 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
crazy.
You don't see. I mean, they used to have. You remember when you would go to like a Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, and they got rid of all the movies.
Yeah.
And they would like on the regular shelves, not on the new release wall, which is where they did all their business. But there'd be all these like weird, B movies that you've never heard of.
Yeah, no, right.
And you'd rent them because it had like two naked women embracing and camouflage on the cover.
Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Emmanuel
right.
6.
Emmanuel. Yeah. Yeah, right. Australian Emmanuel.
Right. Right. And I mean, that's the thing. These movies, hi, Kim. Can I tell you, Kim is looking really good between you and me?
Yeah. She's been out in the sun.
I'm going to remind her one more time when she walks back. I'll remind Kim one more time when she walks back how good you're looking. How good you're looking.
Yeah.
Well, you better,
true.
You're looking good.
Yeah.
You're looking good. You remember Devin Sawa? You know Devin? You never saw Casper? Now and then?
No, don't. Yeah. Don't say that.
There you go. What about Casper Now and Then? Oh, my favorite, Little Giants. I love Little Giants. That's my movie. And he's got a new movie coming out, The Philly Kid. It comes out this week. Yeah, I mean, huh?
At the what?
Mans?
Yeah.
Mans is playing it? Oh, Mans Chinese. That's great.
Hey.
That's great. I'm going to see The Dictator there tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, I have a screening I got to go to.
It's
for
warm.
That.
Are you going to get a tan at all? It's been real sunny lately. Kim's
Am
tan.
Am I going to get a tan?
Mike Binder gave me a comp kudo on my tan that I have, albeit it is a farmer's tan.
I have never heard someone make up so many lies in a 5 minute span in my life.
Uh-huh.
Lee, your tan looks great. You lose some weight. You're looking good. Nice hair.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada,
one after the other.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the man
all right,
is
Mike. You haven't seen him in a few
gracious.
Weeks.
Gracious.
You don't
got to
throw them all
okay.
in. Okay. You don't have to throw them the whole compliment Rolodex.
I look good, though. Come on.
You don't look bad.
Yeah, I look worse.
Yeah, you look more Marty Sherman than usual. It's better when you look more Marty Sherman than Jay Sherman.
Oh, yeah.
So we went over the spray.
Yeah, we did that.
We covered all the major things today, the spray. I don't know if Devin wants to come on now, if he's ready. If he's not ready,
we were
if he's
talking,
waiting.
We should ask Devin how he feels about pies. And
you want to wait for Wes or the, up to you? We can talk just about you until Wes gets here.
If,
it could be
if,
Devin time.
Yeah.
Come on in. Come on.
You come on now, then it's all about you.
Yeah, it's all about you until Wes gets here. It's even better. Well, that's true, too.
All right. Put
that mic up, Devin.
I got to tell you.
All right.
I'm very excited about this. I don't know if Anna knows. I asked for Devin. I asked for you.
Here I am.
Because I got to tell you, brother, I grew up, like, watching you.
Right.
And, like, jealous of you and hating you. Because I wanted to be you.
Oh, man.
I go, this guy's got the life.
Yeah.
This guy's got the life.
Right.
It's been a long, good career.
it's been long and good, right?
Yeah,
okay,
really
okay.
Good.
So what was wrong on the bio on the website?
Oh, no.
Tell me about
the
this.
The bio well, first of all, the Spider-Man thing that's kind of like irrelevant. I wasn't a voice
irrelevant.
On it. It was like a one-day thing for a friend, whatever. There was a huge gap of time. Like, there's some movies on there. I can't say which ones. But there's some movies on there that made me take a 5-year break. After Slackers, after Final Destination, after Stan, I did a couple movies and I stepped back and I realized these weren't movies I was proud of. And I took a 5-year break and I came back and I did The Sibling and I did this movie and I did a couple and of course Nikita and whatnot.
You're proud of Nikita, aren't you?
I am proud of Nikita.
Everyone loves that show.
Yeah, I'm proud to have been a part of it. I don't know if it's going to go any further with my character or.
I got to tell you, I'd be shocked if it doesn't because the CW network, they don't have a lot of stuff other than Nikita. They need Nikita and they need your storyline.
It's a great show, man. I really dig it. I was a little hesitant at first about the CW because of their kinds of shows, and I like to be a little edgier. But
you got McG back in this one.
Yeah.
So you know,
he loves it. And
yeah.
Danny Cannon, who's also great, who's done a million things, he's back, and he comes and directs a bunch of them. I'm proud to have been a part of it.
Yeah, and you know who's great on that show? Someone who we've had on, Shane West. I love Shane.
It's great.
I think he's a great actor.
We just went and we saw The Avengers yesterday, me and him. We've become friends. He's a good guy. He's a solid guy.
Great movie, right? Avengers.
Yeah.
Right?
Fun.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, I loved it.
I was waiting for the line to die down, but it delivers, man. It was pumped.
So I gotta ask you then.
Okay.
But you gotta be proud of movies like Final Destination, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm proud where they've gone with the series.
Are you bummed they killed you off though?
You know what they've done. I mean.
Or are you thinking the name of good stories that was worth it?
I went to the last premiere.
Yeah.
I've seen them all. I got no grudges against. I love everything they've done with that series.
Yeah.
I mean, they always bring on a strong new cast, and it's kind of the only way you can do it and make it, make it work. It's great. I mean,
was it cool doing like a horror movie that wasn't a slasher flick? It was like a slasher flick in a weird way,
right.
Where it was like Fate was the slasher.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Was it cool doing something like that?
It was different.
Like
I actually got on a plane and read that script, was kind of bizarre. And I read that first, I don't know, 15, 20 pages of that plane sequence. I'm like, this is like never been done. This is kind of cool. That concept is kind of cool, and it works every time they do it. And what we didn't have that they have today is 3D. I mean, yeah. Part 5 in 3D was off the hook.
Yeah, you liked it in 3D?
Yeah, man.
I got to tell you, I've seen them all except Part 5 because I can't do the 3D.
Really?
I'm not a big fan.
It's a hard sell for me. I think it's a little better suited to animated films.
What, the 3D?
Things like Avatar, yeah.
Well, I like Harold and Kumar. That was done well in 3D.
Okay.
And Final Destination, I mean, these kind of films work. I'm not a huge fan.
They're genre films.
Avengers could have gone either way. Could have been 3D. You know, I could have seen it.
Right. I agree with you. Did you see it in 3D, Avengers?
Yeah, I did see it in 3D. But the whole time I was like, this could be either way.
There was like a couple shots that were really good in 3D, and that's it. They didn't have a ton in it.
Sure.
So tell me how your career got started, because you started young.
Yeah, man, I started at the age of 11.
Jeez, that's wild.
I was a hyper kid.
Yeah.
And I got into theater and kind of it took off from there. I became the national spokes kid for Nerf toys. Mm-hmm. And then got Casper and Little Giants, and it went on from there. I was young, but it's something that I always wanted to do, you know, ever since I was, you know, 11, 12.
What was your first big break then? What was the first big movie?
They did a national search for the part of Casper. I mean, they searched everywhere, and my tape made it on the right desk.
Casper was like your break.
That was it.
You did a bunch of like, and you tended to do edgier stuff outside of Little Giants, which I love. Maybe not as edgy, but even like Now and Then's a little edgy.
Right.
Idle Hands.
Well, here's the thing. Right.
You didn't have like the teen, like teeny bopper.
I did. I had.
I mean, women were in love with you. Don't
I was
get me
on
wrong.
Every
you
one of those
Tiger Beat.
I was on every one of those Tiger Beat, Teen Beat, Bop magazines.
But
and,
you didn't do those kind of movies.
Well, I to kind of like make the leap into the next thing. That's when I took FLC Punk was the first one, which was kind of like weird. And then I did
That's
Idle Hands
movie.
And the Stan video. I was like trying.
Yeah, the Eminem video, the Stan video. That was huge. Yeah.
It's still my favorite thing I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah, because Dre directed it.
And because it's so cool.
And it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a great
thing for your resume.
Yeah.
And for the Stan video.
Yeah. I'm Stan.
It was amazing.
That's wild. You know, I remember when Wild America came out.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that movie was going to be huge because girls, the three of you that were in it, biggest, like, teen throbs ever.
Right.
What did you take away from that experience doing that movie? What was it like for you doing Wild America?
Well, I mean, I was 16 years old, and it was a lot of traveling on that film. It was a great experience, you know. It was. They tried to like they brought it out during the summer, so it was going to be their big summer blockbuster. I think it opened with Men in Black and like something else huge.
Okay. That makes sense. That was 97. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a great experience.
Yeah.
You know, I took a year off after that one, and then I came back with FLC Punk and Idle Hands. But it was a great experience. You know?
So
traveling.
If I were just to ask you,
sure,
openly,
okay.
What are the films you're most proud of, and what are the ones that you wish were better?
The most proud of, I like.
There could be a few.
I like Idle Hands, and the reason I'm so proud of Idle Hands is because it's the first one to make it to the New Beverly Cinema. It's like you kind of make it. Like,
so you're a film guy.
Yeah,
you're
I go to the Arrow. I go to the New Beverly.
You go to
Cinema.
Cinephile.
I don't go to Cinephile. Should I be going to Cinephile? I don't know.
Here we go.
Hey.
All right, Dean. Here's your plug for the day. So
here you go,
Bob. Devin, there is a place called Cinephile on Santa Monica Boulevard, which, funny enough, is in between the New Beverly and the Arrow.
Right.
Okay, so like it's like your middleman. Okay?
Right.
Not a coincidence.
It is a video store, but everything is categorized by director or odd genre.
Oh, it's like what's it called down in Santa Monica?
There's another place. I don't know the name of it.
There's another place.
It's on the tip of my tongue, and I go there all the time.
It's right by the campus.
Vidius.
Yes.
Vidius.
Yeah, that's the one I go. I would live by the beach. I was there, and I went to Arrow. And, it's got by director.
Yeah.
It's got every documentary you can imagine.
Well, that place is right by our favorite place for pizza, Stella Rosa.
Right.
Yeah, great
right.
place.
Right.
It's like around the block from there.
Vidius is a spot if you're over there.
Yeah.
I haven't been there yet.
Mm.
You were there?
I looked in there.
You looked in there. It was, but it is.
I could see.
Do they have the deals though that Cinephile has? Do they have the like $30 a month rent, whatever you want?
They don't have that, but there's always deals. There's always deals. You know, you get the membership, you get one movie a month free.
I'm not gonna say whose video store is better, but Tarantino and P.T. Anderson go to mine.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
No, but like if you look into the kind of place and they've got posters for Death Race 2000,
right,
things
right,
like that,
right,
that's going to be a place I want to go.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Vidiot. I like that name, though. I do like that.
There's a plug for Vidiot. I should get a free rental card or something.
Well, speaking of Tarantino, New Beverly.
Exactly. He owns that, right?
Correct.
And Redford owns the Arrow, right?
I think Redford, I don't know, does he still own it?
I don't know.
I don't know if he still does.
The reason I like the
Arrow...
Someone
will tell us in a minute over down there.
The reason I like the Arrow is because they've redone it. The screen is...
I love the Arrow.
The screen is huge.
Yeah.
I saw, what did I see? West Side Story. I've seen all the Back to the Futures there. I've seen Indiana Jones there. All the Godfather.
You care about your movies.
Of course I do. Of course I do.
You like actually being in the business. You're not just some pretty guy who acts.
No, you like movies.
Yeah, when I got into the business, there was no paparazzi or anything like this. I really wanted to do it because I've seen all these, I've seen Goodfellas was like part of my, growing up. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
All these amazing movies with great acting is why I wanted
to do it.
It's one of the best movies ever. It really is.
Great. I just want to announce this. This is for After Dark Action, right? This After Dark Films, what you're doing.
Right.
It's the Philly Kid,
right,
which is what we're here to promote. But After Dark Action is combines the talents of Joel Silver,
right,
my buddy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
We told the story a couple weeks ago. I just walked into Joel's office and asked him to do the show.
Right.
That went interesting.
And how did that go? Did he do the show?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
No, but
the next day, or a couple days later...
He did not throw you out.
No, he was very nice to me. He gave me his number and his email. A couple days later, Joel had his falling out with Warner. So I'm not too sure when we're going to see Joel. I don't think it'll be soon. But Dark Castle Home Entertainment, Joel Silver, and Courtney Solomon's After Dark Films has put out these five movies. They're going to play, or six, is it six movies or five movies?
I believe it's five. I think it's
five movies. Six theaters or something.
Five movies and 10 theaters.
10 theaters. Okay, because you got like Dragon Eyes.
Right.
You got El Gringo with Christian Slater, who
right,
I love. I love Christian Slater. Dragon Eyes with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right.
The Philly Kid with Wes and yourself,
right,
Devin Sawa, Wes Chatham, and Neil McDonough,
Michael Jai White.
Yeah. Neil McDonough's great.
He's amazing.
And everything. You watch Justified?
I don't watch the show, but I heard he's amazing.
He killed it.
Yeah.
He killed it.
Yeah. Did he die? Spoiler. Did he die?
You gotta watch. We have a lot of fans who watch the show, and I know Lee has not yet seen the third season.
I haven't, no.
Oh, man. I can't. Did I just ruin the...
No, I didn't hear anything.
He's great.
Yeah, he is.
Stash House with Dolph Lundgren, Sean Ferris, and then Transit with two people I think are fantastic, Elizabeth Rahm and Jim Caviezel.
Right,
Caviezel.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I've never met him, but I really like his work. Yeah, he's great.
So I can't wait to see that. I haven't seen that one yet.
And it'll be in 10 theaters. I believe it's in Man's Chinese, right? It's going to be at Man's,
right,
your guys' film.
Right.
The Philly Kid is this MMA picture.
Right.
It's not a great way to describe it. An MMA picture,
Here's the thing. You got a lot of these MMA movies, and they look a lot like dance films, these big flashy kind of karate, taekwondo-y looking films. We had real MMA guys there, and Wes, who you're going to meet in a second, is the real deal. You know, he's done boxing, he's done wrestling, he's done jiu-jitsu. So we try to keep it as authentic as possible, and it's got that feel, and it's really going to appeal to real MMA fans. And the story itself is good, too.
For our listeners who have all seen Warrior,
right,
with Nick Nolte.
Sure.
Okay. What is the difference in your mind between why should people say, well, I just saw Warrior, why am I going to see the Philly Kid? What's the big differences for you? What makes this film stand out?
Well, it's a complete different story. It's got a different look. But if you liked Warrior, you're going to like this film. I think Warrior had a great feel. I liked Warrior.
Yeah.
So if you like
Nolte, was tremendous in that
amazing.
Movie.
He's was amazing in everything he does.
I'm going to swap out for Wes.
You're swapping out, and Wes Chatham's coming in. By the way,
now the fun starts.
By the way, all these After Dark films will be playing the 11th through the 17th, I believe, correct? But, of course, if you're a Chicago listener, like our largest audience is from Chicago, the Movico is playing these films, and that's a great theater. It's in Rosemont. Check it out. All these films. I mean, if we were just talking about this before the show, and Wes, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I wanted to ask you guys, we were talking before the show about these movies. There's five movies here. They're made for $5 million. They're like the old... Remember in the 90s, you could go to the movie theater and see, like, Wishmaster or Freddy or a Seagal movie or a Jean-Claude movie, and they wouldn't cost that... You know, they wouldn't cost this exorbitant amount of money. Mm-hmm. It'd be $10, $15 million pictures. That's what these films remind me of, and I think it's great for people to be able to go to the theaters and check this out for a week, and also on video on demand.
Yeah.
But does this remind you of those old, like, pictures where they put $15 million into a movie and they let the story tell everything?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Action movies for sure.
Yeah. I just think I think you guys have both done action too. Wes, of course. Wes, people may know from The Unit.
Right.
You know, I did have a question for you. Did you have to audition for The Unit, or did they cast you just?
I auditioned for The Unit.
So was that with Sharon Bialy in them?
It was Sharon Bialy. Yeah.
It was. What was your experience like?
She's
the best, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the best.
I love her.
I always have a good time when I go audition for her, and. And, you know, it was a fun experience. And one of my final auditions, I went in and David Mamet was in there. And he was eating a bag of almonds.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I didn't even know he was going to be in there. And he was eating a bag of almonds. And we started doing the scene. And halfway through the scene, he said, "Do you want an almond?" And I said, "Sure." And so we ate almonds. And then we talked about shooting for a little while. And then and that was it. And
he is a great creator.
Yeah,
the writer, director.
Yeah,
Mamet's amazing. The great thing about him, though, is he'll cast you. He doesn't care if he saw you in a Shakespeare thing or he doesn't give a shit about any of that.
Yeah.
He gives a shit about your look and how you do for him in front of him.
Right, yeah.
That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
Like, I have heard stories where he just hires, like, people who are normal people off the street because they just delivered something well to him or... You know, whatever the case may be. And then you got cast on The Unit, huge role. People watch you all the time. Did Mamet ever, like, give you any feedback on your work on the show?
You know, after a while when things were going well, you know, I heard good job and some of that. But he's not really a feedback guy.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it right, you don't really hear from him much at all.
So you're more like with David Mamet, you don't want feedback because that means he probably has issues.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he's one of the smartest guys on the planet. So,
and I mean, isn't that wild how your career just kind of has been just, you're working with great director after great director, Oliver Stone with W.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, in that movie, Josh Brolin.
Right.
And the guy that steals that movie is Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, he steals that movie, W. I don't know how you guys... Have you seen W, Devin?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Dreyfuss steals that movie as Dick Cheney.
Right.
But, I mean, and then you work with Tommy Lee Jones and Paul Haggis.
That was... working with Tommy Lee Jones was...
Yeah, explain to me, like, and Charlize is in the movie, Charlize Theron. Like, how... You've been on a roll here.
Yeah.
What do you account for that? How do you explain that?
You know what's funny is I've been asked that a few times.
Yeah.
And I've been so lucky with people I got to work with, and people say, you know, how does that happen, or do you seek these guys out? Well, of course I seek these guys out, but
but
those are just the guys that have cast me.
That's great though.
Yeah.
That's great though, right? It's gotta make you feel good. Now I have a question for you. Okay, what is your favorite Devin Sawa movie? And Devin Sawa, what's your favorite Wes Chatham performance?
Well, I think anything that Devin does
outside
is my
of the
favorite.
Philly kid, because anything. There you go. Okay.
I'm trying. Was there any
news at myself?
That translates to I don't know any.
He doesn't remember Now and Then that well.
Casper's got to be probably my all time. Yeah, I thought he was wonderful.
I got to tell you, man, Casper's great. I told Devin this before. I'm a Little Giants guy.
I love
Little Giants. That's my movie. The Icebox.
Right.
The Icebox and Ed O'Neill and Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis as a football coach is enough. That's enough comedy.
And that was
for me.
One of his last pictures.
I know. What's up with him? He just retired, or
I think he had some family issues and he went away to raise his kids. I think it was
good.
The choice he made.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and Ed O'Neill was
the best.
Guy. Oh yeah,
he used to play football. Ed, he was a college football player. Yeah. He's great. He's great. So, what's your favorite Westbrook player?
I'd have to say W.
W.
The Help was great too.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, the Help.
He's just a stunning fella.
Yeah.
He's just a stunning. I mean, it's too bad this is radio because he is stunning.
Don't make me talk about Devin's baby blue.
The only reason I'm here is on radio because I hate being next to him. He's so stunning.
I love sitting with two men who are good looking guys and I'm not, and hearing them talk about how good looking they are. That is what does it for me.
What are you talking about? You're not.
Well, you know, I'm kind of good-looking in, like, if you were going to make a troll movie kind of way. Or, like, I would have been great in Lord of the Rings. You know, I heard this joke yesterday.
As an elf?
Yeah. As an elf.
Yeah.
It's a roast. Very good. Very good. Here's where their movie's not playing. No, I'm just playing. But you can catch this all week at the Chinese Six Theaters. Do they call it the Chinese Six? Chinese.
What do they call that now? Because I was trying to.
It's not Man's Chinese anymore.
I thought it was Man's Chinese.
Grauman.
Okay, go to Man's. Grauman's. Yeah, Grauman, Man's, whatever.
Right.
Go there.
Right.
You could check out the Philly Kid. What was it like? You gotta get in shape for this movie, right? Or are you already in? Or are you already perfection in a bottle?
No, I had to get in shape.
Okay.
This, yeah.
So how do you get in shape for this movie?
Well, I did whatever. Rob Clemente was my trainer, and he was the guy that coordinated all the fight scenes, and he was actually a UFC fighter. And I just did what he said. And I remember the first night I was there, we were all having beers, and he was telling me his plan and the regimen and everything, and then he took his beer away from me.
This guy ate no salt, had no beer. He was on a vegetable and chicken with no seasoning diet
I'd kill myself.
Oh, it was crazy.
I slipped a few beers every now. I mean, you know.
A few beers, You didn't go to Roscoe's at all? No chicken and waffles?
Nah.
Yeah, I just want...
Now, when we raft,
The only time I lose weight is when I work out a lot. Mm. Like, I used to be in really good shape, but I ran 5 miles a day.
Right.
It was the worst. So what is it like for you? Do you have, like, good metabolism, or did you have to just – you had a really diet?
Yeah, well, I think – I mean, you know, it's not really so much dieting. I mean, if you cut, it's really amazing what I learned in actually doing this film. And I've never been a big fan of dieting. I mean, I try to watch what I eat to an extent, but – cutting out salt is a huge deal, and I didn't
is
know
it
that.
Really?
And I had no idea, and that's what he was telling me. He said, just cut out salt, and it's a lot harder than it sounds, but it's a lot easier than it sounds, because you still can eat, which you just can't have salt on it.
But they make everything with salt on it.
Right. Yeah, but they make everything.
The only,
bread,
everything the only thing you could get at McDonald's not made of pink slime is salt.
Right?
That's all you can do. Salt and this bullshit that killed you.
But it's really interesting how much of a difference cutting sodium out and how good you feel.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You feel better.
Yeah, you feel better. But, you know, your body doesn't retain water without the sodium. So it just shreds. It's a good thing.
Do you guys, because you guys are both good-looking dudes, the women love you, whatever,
man.
Blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Devin's sitting here, you know, he's pretending to be a film nerd. Like, he's not at the beach every day getting laid. Listen. All right. Okay. When you guys go grocery shopping, right, here's my list, okay? This is you tell me where I'm going wrong. First of all, I go for, like, do you guys go grocery shopping like a big bulk, or do you go like one at a time?
I go literally one item
at
a time.
Me too. Me too. Okay, so that's a guy thing. Yeah. Guys go for whatever they need at that moment.
At that moment.
They drive to the store, get paper towels and a six-pack, and go home.
Right.
Okay.
And I usually, when I go...
to paper towels.
And sometimes when I go to the grocery store and I'm feeling ambitious, like I'm going to make dinner,
yeah.
I usually will see a deli sandwich and just grab that and go home.
Yeah, okay. So what is it for you that both you guys stay in such good shape when you have this lifestyle where... like guys are, you go to the grocery store, you get one thing at a time, you eat out a lot because you're actors and you got, you know, you're always on the move and catering and all this other crap, you go to parties. So what is it for you guys? Is it just you guys work out a lot, you keep in good shape, what's the deal?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that comes along with being an actor is you get a lot of free time. And I know for me and Devin, our hobbies are active physical hobbies. Things I like to do is very physical. So
what are some of your hobbies?
I box.
I'm doing jiu-jitsu right now, so that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're like manly hobbies. I'm sitting here, I'm going to call them gay.
Because
I thought it was going to be like, you know, like surfing, man. No offense, Brett. No offense, Brett Cullen. I love you, Brett, but... I love you, but, you know, you guys, and then it's like boxing and jiu-jitsu.
Spearfishing.
So is there anything not manly and perfect about you two guys?
Oh, there's plenty.
All right.
There's,
okay.
No, yeah. I'm pretty
making
manly.
Sure. Yeah. Devin's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah.
All right. I do want to say once again, you can catch these films in Atlanta at the AMC South Lake 24, Chicago at Movico 18, Honolulu.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They should be flying us there to open that one.
Right.
I know. You guys should open in Honolulu. You should say the Philly Kid should open in Honolulu.
Right.
You guys should at least be opening in Philly where they're not playing the movie.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
The one place they're not playing it. But you know what's funny is the movie has nothing to do with Philadelphia.
No. But, you know,
it's just
the Philly kid, you know, you're going to get some Philadelphians, because they're not that smart to begin with,
right,
thinking, I'm going to go see this. It's about Philly. And then,
right. Now, when I sat down, I heard you talking about Chicago. You from Chicago?
I am. I'm a Chicago guy.
I just did a pilot in Chicago.
Powers. With Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
I know all about it.
I really hope.
I really hope so, too. It's FX,
still,
right?
It's still, I mean, there's a lot
of... The cop show, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that I don't know about, but I know it's still alive.
Okay. I hope it gets picked up.
I do, too.
Anytime anyone can work in Chicago.
I loved Chicago. I had such a good time in Chicago.
The best.
The food is amazing.
I'm going home for a month and a half just so I can eat. I'm going home in June until mid-July just so I can eat.
That long you're going home?
Yeah, well, my sister just had my first nephew. I haven't met him.
Uh-huh.
It's been like 6 months, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to spend some time with my family.
Yeah. Nice. But the people are a lot of fun. Partiers.
Yeah. No one, I mean, and this is the honest truth, I love L.A., but I mean, Chicago people just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
They smoke, they drink, they party, they eat, and like, if they can fit in working out, they'll fit it in. Girls aren't always worried about looking like movie stars, you know, like, it's kind of a chill atmosphere in Chicago. And the other thing about Chicago compared to here is, and I love here, I love L.A., I'd rather live in L.A. than anywhere, even Chicago, I love Chicago, though. Is there's like a bar next door to a bar next door to a bar next door to a bar.
Yeah.
Like here, you have to like walk a while. I live in Studio City. If you go down Ventura, you see a bar every now and then.
Right.
Back home, you see them everywhere. They're everywhere. It was that because you like to have a few.
Yeah.
So were you and Jason Patrick like hitting up the bars?
Yeah, he liked to have a few too. Yeah, we had a good time. We worked on In the Valley of Ella together.
So He's a great actor.
Yeah, so we got to know each other on that movie, and we had a few beers on that one. So when we did Powers together, we just had a good time.
Why do you think Jason gets kind of a bad rap?
I think
he's known to be difficult to work with. I'm buddies with Joe Carnahan. Joe did Narc with him. Jason was great in Narc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe and Jason are ever working together.
Right.
I think it's safe to say that's not happening.
Yeah.
So what is it about Jason, man? Is it like, because he just is so good and everything. And I mean, I know it's hard to look at someone and go, oh, they must be a sweet guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a bad dude.
Right. You know, I think it comes to, I think one of the things that makes him such a great actor is he truly doesn't care what people think about him.
Yeah.
And you know that's not always a good combination with a director or a producer or somebody in authority. But if you're just a buddy, that's just an actor on the show, then you have a completely different experience. But you know, I can understand it. You know, if with a director, I mean, you know, he has his own ideas, his own opinions, and he's not afraid. He doesn't care what people think.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good answer. That's a good answer. I like that. He's his own guy.
Yeah, he's
his own opinion. You know, that's the thing, though, and I don't know, and Devin, you've been working in this business for so long. Have you ever thought that having an opinion in this town is a bad thing? Is it hard to have an opinion in Hollywood?
No, not at all.
You don't care. You're open about everything. You'll be honest
about
whatever.
I'll give my
whatever.
Opinion, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, Devin's another guy. He'll give his opinion.
But me also, and Jason Connery are never working together again.
Yeah, isn't that wild? You're working with Sean Connery's kid.
Kidding about that, by the
Were
way.
Were you asking Sean stories?
He had some great stories.
He did?
He had some great, great stories. Not about his dad, but like he had some great old school Hollywood stories.
Oh,
he's a great director.
Yeah.
He's one of working with directors, he's one of those ones that's gonna go far.
Yeah.
I really think you're gonna see him do some big things.
That's good. I mean, the movie looks great too. Who's the director of photography on it? Do you remember?
Now that you ask me,
I'm gonna have to look it up.
Yeah, no, I actually worked with him before on a movie called Hud.
Yeah, me too. I worked with him.
Yeah, he does. I can't. I hope he doesn't listen.
You guys
to this.
Are such movie stars.
I can't.
You guys are such movie stars.
No, but you know what's funny is
all we're thinking about is ourselves. Come on,
I
man.
Know.
I gotta.
Why do you do this to me, man?
Hold on, I'm gonna look. We're all looking now. We're all on our phones.
You don't tell him that.
You're going to remember. You're going to remember.
Can we edit this out?
Yeah, no. I'm going to remember.
Cinematography, yeah. Marco.
Yeah.
Marco!
Yeah, I remember now. Marco, hurry up. Marco, let's go. Marco.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Marco, hurry up.
But, you know, if somebody asks me a name, I'm terrible. I draw a blank. I feel like I'm a deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
too much pressure.
I always look at my phone before anything. Like, I was like, okay, I'm doing an interview, West Chatham. And I come in and do it.
Who is that clown that I was working with?
West Chatham.
I had a good time working with West Chatham.
I just think it's, when you do a movie that's $5 to $10 million like this, and this is the other thing I love about those 90s movies, they had to be shot really well.
Right.
Because you got a lower budget, you don't have like big explosions in this movie, you know. It's got to be shot really well, and it looks like a crisp, great, like $50 million movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of action movies today, they have so much money, and they have with the stuff they can do with CGI and computer. Yeah. That it's one big action scene, and you can be mesmerized by that. But if you don't have that, we didn't have that kind of budget. We didn't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
So you have to have a story, or you have nothing.
Yeah. And then the other key was we had to be like, we had to get it in two takes. We had to move quickly. Like it had to be. We had to be prepared. Our lines had to be down. There was no time for any It just had to be every day, and that's what kept it going.
Now the girls that listen to the show are gonna hate me if I don't ask. Are you guys single guys or what?
I just got married.
There goes Wes's career.
Here's another bomb. I'm engaged.
Well, 0-for-2, ladies. I don't know what to tell you. Hey, it's L.A. Anything can happen. Just hold tight like 6 years. You never know. What do you guys got going on in the future? What is your plans? What do you want to do? Because Devin, you've had a long career. Is there still some things that you haven't done that you want to do? And then, Wes, you got this budding, action career in a weird way. Is there, you're doing more, drama and
Wes
action?
Wes is an actor first.
Right.
Well, let's get that out there. He's an actor first. They can do a little
that's
action.
That's what I'm saying. The guy can act, so are you trying to, you're hoping Powers gets picked up, of course.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy. I really like, you know about the Brian Michael Bendis comic books, Powers?
No.
It's based off those comic books, and I think it's a really cool story, and it's something that I'm really kind of that pilot and that show and the idea of it's something I'm into right now. But you never know how these things work out. So I'm not.
So what else are you looking forward to doing?
I really like what's kind of going on right now. I mean, I think ultimately I just want to work with good people and good material, and I'm really lucky. The directors that I've gotten to work with and the material that I've gotten to work with, I got really lucky, and I just want to continue with that.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't need to be I mean, I, as long as it's good scripts and good people and a good director, I can. I don't need to be number one on the call sheet. I can be number eight.
Well, like
or,
The Help.
Yeah, like The Help. Yeah,
The Help.
Exactly.
You take a supporting role in
right.
it, and you do a great job.
Right.
And it's a great movie.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's good. And what about you, Devin? What
do
you got going on?
I do good stuff with good people. Same kind of thing. You know, I got, there was a point where I was doing some stuff that I'm not so proud of anymore, and now I'm, you know, after a long break, I came back, and now I'm doing things like, you know, with Wes, and I was fortunate enough to do Nikita, and I got a couple other films coming out. I worked with Nick Stahl,
yeah.
Who I'm a big fan
he's
of.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
Bully. Bully was fantastic,
yeah,
and Bully,
yeah.
And
so I think these are all films I'm proud of now. I've seen The Philly Kid. I'm proud of The Philly Kid. No matter whether it does huge or not, it's something I'm going to put on the shelf and say, yeah, I dig this film.
Why do you feel like, because you've admitted to it here, you know, why do you feel like you had a couple movies that you weren't so proud of? Why were you making those choices, or was it?
It was bad luck. I mean, there was one particular movie that it was a friend, and it was kind of the script came, and all of a sudden I was, you know, I just was attached, and I wasn't thinking, and all of a sudden, you know, it just didn't turn out well for me.
Yeah, but, you know, it's going well for you now.
It's going great.
Yeah.
It's going really well.
So you're hoping they bring you back for Nikita.
I'm hoping.
You don't know.
It's a 50-50
we'll
thing. You know,
yeah.
I love the show, and I love the actors on it. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're like I said, a very big component for that show now. I do. So I think they'll bring you back. My opinion. My opinion, I think they need you.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys want to share with us from the Philly Kid experience? So what are you taking away from doing this movie?
What am I taking? It's a great movie, but you know the reason this movie is so good is because of Wes. I mean, I really think that this could have went either way. He's got the acting, but he also handles the MMA part perfectly, and it really comes off on screen. That's why I'm so proud of it. There's no you don't watch a film and think it's fake or anything. It looks legit. And
you do look like a legit MMA fighter.
And the whole cast,
movie.
Neil and everybody else in the cast, I mean, it's there's no weak link in the chain, and Jason brought that all together, and I'm real happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, I mean, he really, the obstacles that he had to go through to get this movie made, and to get the people together, I mean, it was really impressive what he did. And I know everybody says, it's almost cliche now, where people come in and say, oh, it was the best time, and we all got along, and it was a really great thing. But, I mean, really and truly, this was one of the most fun I've had.
Yeah. How long was the shoot? How many weeks?
It was like 18 days.
18 days?
Yeah,
really?
We were there for a month and a week, I think.
Yeah,
he was there a little bit longer because of training.
That's great.
All in all, I was there for, I think it was
about two months.
Man.
Yeah. That's making a movie. When you make a movie in 18 days,
that is making
a movie.
That's why you got to show up. Your line's got to be down.
You got to be a professional.
It's just got to go bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
It's got to be perfect.
See, and that's what's great about, you know, doing this thing with Joel Silver here with the After Dark films here, is they're all, I'm sure they were all like this then, 3-week shoots, 4-week shoots. I mean, that's wild, because you got to be working with the best professionals in order to do good films.
Yeah.
And these are all films worthy of being in theaters, which is why they're going to be in theaters starting this Friday.
Right.
Right.
Do you feel proud of that, too, that they're getting the theatrical release, the video on demand?
Yeah, it means Joel Silver believes in it, you know, because it didn't have to. It went right to the bargain bin at Kmart.
Yeah.
Because we worked really, really hard. And so, it's satisfying to see it go into the...
Joel's a genius, right? Joel Silver? We can say he's a genius, right? He's like a mad scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I walked in his office, and from top to bottom...
You mean you barged into his office?
Yes. You did? Yes. From top to...
I want to hear about
that.
We
can tell that story again.
Yeah.
From top to...
What happened?
I was seeing a screening. I was at a critic screening
with
Lenny Maltz and Joey Morgs, and all the big critics were there. And I don't talk to those guys because they're like 112.
Uh-huh.
And I left. We left. And I was having a smoke. I was having a smoke. I'm always smoking, and which is probably why I'm sick now. And I said, I'll be right back, because I saw Joel Silver's office next to the screening room. I didn't want him to know I was going to Joel Silver's. He would have stopped me.
Right.
So I walked in, and Joel has this nice assistant. I don't know. His name's Connor, I think, or something. I can't believe I remember his name. Nice guy sitting right there, whatever. And then I see his office doors open, and I don't know if he's in. I don't know if anyone's in. I kind of just like walk past his assistant and make like a left-hand turn
right
into the office. And I asked Joel to do the show, and I gave him my information and stuff. And he was really nice. And,
really?
But there was some other guy on, like, a couch, and I think I interrupted something. And I think they were confused. And
wow, you just walked in there. Like,
yeah, it was pretty stupid.
Did he do the show?
Not yet. No.
He's coming up next. He's coming up next, Joel.
That's what I'm hoping. I don't know if Joel's doing it anytime soon, though. Yeah. So, anyways, though, I'm walking in his office, and from top to bottom, he has all these posters, all these movies he's done. And the guy is a fucking genius. Like, he knows what people want to see. And the Philly Kid, obviously, and these some of these other, like El Gringo, these are movies people want to see. He knows what people want to see. So when these films go into theaters, people should trust him and go see it.
Yeah.
Because Joel Silver doesn't make many bad movies.
That's right. A good sell. I'll take that sell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the truth. You know, you kind of go with the product you trust.
Sure.
And I trust Joel Silver, which is why I wanted to get on board with promoting these movies, is because I trust Joel.
Yeah.
Right.
He doesn't strike out often. No. So you guys take away from that a great experience. You guys are best buddies, blah, blah, blah. All
right. Yeah. I know your eyes kind of roll over when that's done.
Sure,
that talk
yeah, out. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, but here's
we did get in a fist fight the first night we hung
did
out.
Did you really?
No, we didn't.
No.
Yeah, we did.
You see his eyes light up.
Oh, I was so excited. I'm like, you beat the shit out of each other?
No. It was with our waitress.
Oh, with the waitress. So let me ask you this, though. Okay, but honestly, you guys had a great time. You guys like each other a lot. How is it when you get off of movies and you guys work together and you like each other? How do these friendships stay like friendships when you're done promoting a movie together, doing a movie together? What in your past experiences, the people you're still friends with, how does that happen for the people at home that don't understand, because they probably think you guys are going to hang out every day for the rest of your lives now?
Well, I'm a big fan.
Aren't we?
Oh. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of staying in touch. You know, if
you're going to say you're staying in touch, you should stay in touch. Yeah. Hollywood really isn't like that. People are like, oh, yeah, we'll hang out after the movie. Yeah. What's your number? What's your email? I'll call you. We'll be best friends. And then you never hear from them again. Yeah. But I do open house every day.
It's overly enthusiastic. But, no, if I meet somebody that I have a good time with and that I think we have a lot in common, I'm good about staying in touch.
It's good.
And, I mean, I still, my best friends that I grew up with and that we played Little League football together, 10 guys, I still talk to them all the time. I'm a big fan of staying in touch, but, you know, I don't always want to stay in touch with everybody. You know, but there's usually one or two that I'll keep in touch with. This is actually the first time me and Devin seen each other since the movie.
I don't know. He changed his number. I don't know.
You didn't say he was going to be here.
Oh, is this for me? Yeah, it's Cody.
How am I going to eat this while
I didn't order this.
You guys know Mike Binder? Mike Binder owns a restaurant. He's the writer, director of Rain Over Me, Upside Anger.
Right, yeah.
That's Mike. He wants food. I think you guys need to eat this. Yeah. Who wants a coney? Wes wants a coney.
Give it to the Philly Kid.
It's got salt. It's got salt.
All yours.
It's all mine? All right, I'm going to have to eat it at some point. But I can't eat right. He just hands it to me like I have a place to put it.
No.
I love that, man. I do. He's the greatest.
No, I really enjoyed Upside Anger. I was a big fan of that.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. Yeah. You know, and then he's done a lot of movies. I like Sex Monster.
Yeah,
I love Sex Monster. Anything with sex in the title, I'm usually a fan of.
Coincidentally, that's Devin's nickname.
Sex nickname, Sex Monster.
Right, baby.
So you're engaged now. It can't be anymore.
The movies I was talking about were on Skinamax.
Well, that's true, though. You guys are going to end up, aren't these movies going to end up on Cinemax? They're late night, right? On Cinemax, aren't they going to end up there? No. No, and it's like, I don't know what he's talking about.
No, this is HBO, 8 o'clock, Friday night.
Is that what it is? Is the HBO Friday? All right, well, if you insist. I think, though, on Video On Demand, you can go to After Dark Action, and you can watch The Philly Kid, you can watch El Gringo.
Right. I think Philly Kid's going to be the movie this weekend to beat out the Avengers.
Is that going to be the one?
Yeah.
Is that going to be the one?
Yeah.
It's in 10 theaters. Yeah. The Avengers is in 3,300 and something else.
I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I got a good feeling about it. There's been some Oscar
buzz. I better get a lot of credit if this thing beats the Avengers.
I'm not one to gossip or start rumors, but I did hear a little gossip about Oscar rumors.
Yeah.
For the Philly kid? Well, there you go.
Yeah. Best costume.
You got cinematography. Marco.
By the way, are you guys are going to be at one of the screenings, huh?
Yeah.
On Saturday, May 12th, so you will have to see each other one more time.
Right, absolutely.
At the 4:50 p.m. showing of The Philly Kid, Wes and Devin are going to be there with the writer and the director. Jason Connery will be there.
Oh, that's right. He's going to be coming.
I heard a rumor Sean Connery will be there. rumor. No one can confirm it or deny it. You're going to have to go and find out for yourself.
Yeah, I like that.
That's how you get people to go to things.
Yeah, he's coming with Jack Nicholson and Clint Eastwood.
John Hyams did the Dragon. He did Dragon Eyes? I didn't know that. See?
I didn't either.
And what? Van Damme's too lazy to show up for the screening? Listen, Van Damme, I don't know what you're doing with your time, buddy. Expendable 7, whatever. But Dragon Eyes, they got a screening with John Hyams is going to be there, and Transit on Saturday as well with Elizabeth Rahm. And I love Elizabeth Rahm. She was on Law & Order, and I watch that show religiously because I'm lazy. And this is great, man. I'm proud of you guys. I think this is a cool idea.
Yeah.
Doing the 5 films, putting them out at once, and... I think it's a really cool idea. It's kind of like a return.
Have you gotten to see them?
Yeah, I have them. Okay. I have them all. I haven't seen them all. I still need to watch Dragon Eyes. I love Peter Weller. I love Van Damme, so I've been saving that kind of for like my pizza
dessert.
Night. Yeah. I love Caviezel, Dolph Lundgren. I mean, there's some
have
great movies here. Christian Slater. No, you haven't seen him yet?
Did you?
Oh, you will.
No, I just ours.
Oh, okay.
Like 5 times.
Yeah, 5 times. Devin really likes your movie.
No, I just watch my parts.
Oh, just your parts. Well, that's good.
I'm one of those actors.
Yeah, you watch whatever you're in.
God, I'm good.
And then he calls me, he's like, do you know how great I was in this scene?
I called, hey, Wes, pause it at 10 minutes and 33 seconds. I look good, don't I?
Just look at my eyes. Look at my eyes do
this
all the
be
acting.
This should be in 3D.
That's great. I may come by this screening. I want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, you should do it.
Definitely
come by.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
We'll buy you a hot dog.
What do I got to do? What do I got to do?
Huh? Oh, am I coming?
See, Anna says I'm coming. I'm coming. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. She's the one that gets me guests, so I have to do whatever she says. That's how it works, I think. I'm so excited you guys came on, though. I really am, too.
I had a good time.
I think you guys are
both
really cool dudes. And by the way, nothing bad to say about your acting work, either.
Thanks.
I have nothing bad to say, honestly.
Then you must not have seen Barbershop.
Hey, I've seen the movie.
That's the one I was going to say was my favorite.
Barbershop?
That's the one.
How did you... Yeah, wait.
Everybody else is great in it.
Are you like the token white guy in Barbershop? Is there more white guys or is it just you?
I think it's just me.
Yeah, you're the token white guy.
Yeah.
It's racist, man.
What is it?
So fucking racist. The token white guy.
Yeah.
No, I'm just right. You were in the Fighting Temptations, too, weren't you?
Yeah.
So you were just like the king of black cinema and black television.
Right.
And then we kind of stole you. That's how it is. He snuck in through the Tyler Perry route. Oh, Wes, you sneaky bastard. Then Sleeper Cell. Oh, you just snuck through the black cinema. I love it. That's great. You guys have to see The Philly Kid. It's in theaters, of course, once again, May 11th through the 17th, and on video on demand. Devin Sawa, Wes Chatham, thank you so much for doing the show. And
this is a great show, man. This is a really cool.
Real chill show.
Thanks
for having me. Can I ask you a question? This is more about me than you. Okay, so like, if I were to do the show from, say, I don't know, Vegas, could you actually get people to come out and do the show in Vegas? You guys go to Vegas, right?
Yeah. You do
the show.
Yeah.
They do it. They do it. They have to say that right now, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll change their mind later.
Is it easier to drive 30 minutes to do the show? Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like wouldn't you want to fly out, be put up for the night, do a show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Oh, there we go. Oh, okay. That's all different then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, I was going to see how excited they were about the idea first before I told them they're getting put up and...
Yeah, I'm all aboard on that.
I'm sure. I would be too.
that hurts.
All right. All right, Binder just hit me in the head. I got to go. Thank you guys very much. The Philly Kid in theaters this week and on video on demand. Anything else I should plug? Is that good? All right.
Awesome.
Go see it. Go see it, and I will see you Monday with Joe Carnahan and next Wednesday with Phil Rosenthal, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, and a good buddy of mine. And
that's a great show, by the way.
And Michael Whitehorn may be swinging by and some other people as well. I will see you guys all next week. Thank you.